Good morning. You're listening to KCPW. I'm Roger McDonough, and it's time now for our Better Utah legislative update with Marianne Martindale, executive director of the nonprofit Good Government Group Alliance for a Better Utah. Marianne, a couple of big items with just 7 working days left in the session. Yesterday, Healthy Utah, the governor's Medicaid expansion plan, was rejected, correct? Tell us about that.
Yes, this was a last night committee hearing. I mean, these don't happen very often. 6 p.m. at night. So, I mean, it was a long day yesterday for everybody. A lot of work on this one. But unfortunately, Healthy Utah went down. It was a little bit of an odd sense in the committee hearing. There were 20 people, at least 20 people, who spoke from the public, who spoke in favor of Healthy Utah. Hospital associations, doctors, providers, organizations and advocacy groups that support this, as well as several people who gave extremely emotional and passionate testimony who needed this coverage. But it was voted down 9-4.
I think I've asked you this question 3 times already during the session, but is Healthy Utah no longer a viable or potential option here?
The easy answer would be to say no, but the more complicated answer is to say not necessarily. And that means that there's still a lot of things that can be done to a bill. This was a committee. You know, as we've talked about before, it has to go through a House committee, House floor hearings twice, theoretically, unless they suspend rules. Then it would have to go to the Senate, go through a Senate committee, and 2 floor hearings on the Senate. There's a lot of places where things could be amended. Things can be completely substituted.
Right.
You know, there's been so much talk about maybe some marriage between Shiozawa's Healthy Utah plan and Dunnigan's, Frail Utah. I have a hard time not calling it Frail Utah, because it really is. It's essentially the model that Frail Utah was originally. And so if they were to marry those two together, that's an intriguing idea. Run Healthy Utah for the 2 years because it has a sunset, and then transition into this Frail Utah plan should Healthy Utah not end up being viable, or they have a lot more people, or all those all the things that, you know, the sort of hair on fire ideas that they used to kill the bill last night.
Right. Okay. So there is this potential for maybe substituting in. It's a tactic for getting legislation in it at this last minute, you know.
Yeah, we see that all the time. It's usually on, you know, maybe not quite as important bills as this, but you see substitutions and things and changes made. You can support a bill early on in the session, and by the time it gets to the end, it's completely different than the bill that you had supported, and you now oppose it. So, I mean, it's funny. There's still a lot of maneuvering that can happen. And let's not forget, this is the governor's plan. He has a lot riding on this, and he has a lot of political capital that he can use. So we'll be interesting to see the power play between he and Speaker Hughes and then the other leadership and President Niederhauser, how they play this out.
I was going to say that the governor and proponents of the bill have been issuing statements that seem to say, we're going to find a way to make this work.
Yeah, exactly. This is not, as much as I think the House would like us, everyone, to think that this is just a dead deal now, I think it's far from dead.
Okay. Well, and meanwhile, as you said, the Utah Cares bill, which is, you call it Frail Utah.
Or Utah Cares Less.
Or Utah, it covers less people. That's a point we should make. That bill is advancing.
It is. So that one came after Healthy Utah last night, and it passed, interestingly, by 9-4. Different people, but the same margin. So that's moving through.
Okay. And then moving on to a completely different topic here, coming up this morning is a bill that received a lot of attention yesterday, SB 296. This is the non-discrimination and religious liberties bill.
Yeah, people have been waiting a really long time for this one, and just kept being promised, it's coming. Yesterday at noon, there was a huge press conference. Members of the LGBT community, various legislators from both the Senate and the House, as well as general authorities and key leaders from the LDS Church, all spoke in favor of this bill. This is a bill that's been crafted together with collaboration from all parties involved, so it combines both anti-discrimination and religious freedom bills.
A remarkable press conference yesterday.
Indeed. I mean, unprecedented. You know, but that's up again this morning. First thing, so they actually had to suspend the rules because they announced it yesterday in the middle of the day. Less than 24 hours later, it's on a committee, so they suspended rules. I mean, they're anxious to get this in, get it through, get it passed. You know, word on the Hill is that this has pretty unilateral bipartisan support. Shouldn't have a whole lot of problem. I mean, of course, there will be people that will use this to stand up and make statements, but for the most part, most people expect this to pass. It's a good compromise bill, frankly. You know, you're looking at anti-discrimination bills in the past and religious freedom bills in the past that have always been separate and sort of at odds with each other. This seems to be something that can run concurrently. Neither side gets everything they want,
right,
but neither side is completely turned out either. I mean, it's a nice compromise bill, so we'll see.
One interesting exemption is carving out space for the Boy Scouts of America. America based on a Supreme Court
ruling. Right, and exactly. That's a Supreme Court ruling, and so they're following precedent there. There are a lot of people that are, you know, frustrated by that, but that's something that wouldn't hold up anyway because we already have Supreme Court precedents.
All right. And then finally today, yesterday, the House rejected the Senate's election bill, and this is on partisan school board elections. What happened there, and what does it mean?
Yeah, we've been watching that. You know, we've talked about this a couple of times, and they've been winding their way through. So now the House, the only thing that the House has supported is nonpartisan state school board elections. This was sort of the last partisan chance. It was Alvin Jackson from Utah County, Senator Jackson. It was education and elections reporting amendments. It was to make state school board elections partisan, right, and it failed in the House. So that one's dead. So the only thing in play now is either nonpartisan, which the House has pushed forward, or there's still one governor-appointed constitutional amendment that's still alive in the Senate. But the House defeated a very similar bill just a couple of days ago, so it's not likely they're going to change their minds and pass a Senate version of the same bill. So it looks like we may be headed for nonpartisan elections.
And is that very different from the way that things are right now?
It's extremely different than the way things are. Right now, they are appointed by the governor, which, based on our Utah state constitution, the circuit court just last fall found was unconstitutional, which is why if they were to do an appointment to the governor, they would have to do it through a constitutional amendment,
right,
because they actually have to change the language of the constitution or they'll be in violation yet again.
Marianne, you are our connection to the state legislature. We really appreciate your coming in and speaking with us. Marianne Martindale is executive director of the nonprofit Good Government Group Alliance for a Better Utah. She joins us for regular updates from the Hill. Thanks again.
Thank you.
And you're tuned to KCPW at 836.